Hello, this is Daryl War, creator to the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, and I'm trying out this mini-cast function because I'm bored. Yeah, I know. Tired of hearing me grouse. Well, me too. I just want to have fun again, and I'm tired of listening to everybody else grouse. Jeez. I'm pretty sure a lot of Dark Shadows makes more sense to me because I grew up with all the old spooky it was based on, and then some. I also grew up with a whole lot of electronics and television, including advertisements, which I eventually learned to avoid. All the distractions, and wow, what a mess this internet is. That's one nice thing about having to watch all of these Bewitched episodes. The Stevens home is pretty much spotless most of the time. I'm staring at all those lovely window seats and thinking, oh, you lucky people. And also getting tired of Endora's purple-green garb. Anytime Agnes Moorhead wears a different outfit, I am so happy. More fun with the Addams Family. I'm mainly viewing a lot of 1964 television to set myself up with back history of our Pit of Ultimate Families. The Ghost in Mrs. Muir is more 1968, 1969, so I find myself pulling away from that a bit, just trying to line everyone up in where they're at earlier than when Dark Shadows began. Anyway, what's very good with the Addams Family is the subtitles. I found this out because my husband wanted to listen to some music in the same room, so I opted for the subtitles. And when you lose the laugh track with the Addams Family and just look at the dialogue, it could be so much more romantic, much more spooky, and a whole lot funnier. So for this presentation, however lackadaisical, I figured I'd go into some of the research with Maggie as a reincarnation of Josette. And yes, if you don't like it, or reincarnation freaks you out more than vampires and werewolves or whatever, turn it off. No big deal. There was a refreshing review I got saying, first and foremost, thank you for addressing the issue of reincarnation in Dark Shadows. It remains a muddled subject, but it should not be. It's quite straightforward. And I thought so too. What with Roger saying things Joshua had said and Elizabeth going into some Naomi behavior, there is enough in there where I watched it and thought, oh, okay, reincarnation. Well, we've got everything else in Collinwood. Business as usual. So I studied that up again more thoroughly than I had in previous years, and that seems to be the first thing that people have an issue with. I just look at some of these comments over the years and I think, really? Really? A work of fiction with all those other supernatural elements and this is the one people have a problem with. Okay. So, there's your warning. Oogie boogie. Reincarnation. Ooh! What I've been hoping for more of is research assistance. Melissa and Lisa have been wonderful for that. In fact, that last chapter of Margaret Josette Dupré, A World of Darkness, based on DS episode 422 and dedicated to the writer Ron Sproat, I had to channel back to the occurrence to 1795, which was really heart-wrenching and tough. So the re-experience with Maggie as the reincarnation gave them a bit more of a safety net. There was some deep emotion I was experiencing in putting together about 5 drafts of it. I had to go to Lisa and ask, why is Barnabas going through this experience with this profound sense of begging her forgiveness? And Lisa was really good about explaining it to me. I believe it's because I go into the character's zones and psyches, and it's like a roller coaster at times, or a deep sea dive. But people who know these characters so well are good to have the discussions with. As like with the Tony and Carolyn proposal chapter, which I drafted years ago, I was there, but I wanted to know why Carolyn didn't want to get married, and I had to ask Oisin about it. Oisin was thorough and expressed what off-putting feelings Carolyn had about marriage. Sure enough, I go over the first year, and Joe Haskell comes out and says to Elizabeth Stoddard just what the deal was. And, you know, I just got it. Carolyn has these issues with marriage and being engaged indefinitely to Tony would set her mind to rest about every day being a choice in her relationship with him. So those are two good examples about the help I look for. Actual character study. Why are they behaving this way? If you just listen to them, it's a lot different than just kind of coming up with whatever. One item I've had to alter in episode 16 of The Pit is something Melissa found during the Kitty Soames period of Dark Shadows. You know, she was typing all this information as she was watching, and I couldn't keep up with her, so I had to grab the disc and follow along and back. There was a lot of information in episode 853 where Kitty is asking Angelique what her background is and if she was ever a lady's maid or servant, which Angelique doesn't answer, of course. Then, poor Kitty, she continues to go through that journey in flashes of memory, wandering over Jeremiah's grave to weep and apologize to him for not loving him. Edward, her fiancé, comes to investigate that, and Kitty calls him Joshua, which is... Oh, you poor people. But it all fits in pretty good to come through with a long-term plan of filling the gap of how Josette spent her time between the 1790s and the 1960s. So with 853, we have that incarnation of Josette expressing herself. She didn't love Jeremiah. It was a spell by Angelique that made them marry. And with that information, I realized, all right, I've got to go and alter some of Maggie's dialogue, because if she's both women, she knows this already. Here we go. But in either of these cases, original Dark Shadows or my radio drama, the patterns float through and impress a strange occurrence that the person experiencing it can't explain. The previous life reveals something as a mechanism to bring clues to the psyche that they can go find. Often, this is about unfinished business.
Just like with ghosts, too.
That's a lot of why the Sam Evans as André Dupré scenes come out the way that they do in The Pit. He also would initially go back and forth until he was trying to stabilize both lifetimes as a whole. With Captain Greg as his ally, it really came through better than I could have hoped. Also, with Sam having that same experience and looking for the answers, too, he becomes a wonderful component for Maggie having that experience to share with someone. And someone philosophical, someone close to her. It's another thing I'm looking forward to, having Barnabas see Sam as someone else who can remember that history with him. Again, with reincarnation, the steps come and go. It makes sense because in various case studies, you easily see the same cycles that go in and out of confusion until there is some proof gathered to memories from centuries past. Something set in stone, they're seeing that they hadn't known in their current life. I remember seeing the earrings of Josette's and how Maggie responded to them, but something that really clinched where they were taking Maggie's character for me was earlier in Dark Shadows, episode 697. And Melissa reminded me about this one as well. So 697 was before Barnabas' trip to the year 1897. However, the dress we find Maggie in is Victorian. Light blue with white trim, which is metaphorically representative of Josette's bedroom, as well as that dark green sash. I saw that thinking about a mismatch in colors that blend not so well together. And then I looked at Josette's room again, and I noticed, oh, the room has that green drapery. So even down to the sash, they give Maggie a dress to wear reminiscent of Josette's room at the old house. With all those clues, I can see where they were planning to head, and then, for whatever reason, Rachel wasn't working out as that reincarnation. They move ahead to Kitty Soames, aka Lady Hampshire, and worked with it that way. But the previous episode showed Maggie calling Roger by the name of Edward. However, with some of the plans I foresee, Rachel could be a good component, either as a possession or as a decoy for the pit. But a lot of this is way far into the future. What is it now? March 2016. And I'd been wanting to get to 1897 since 2014. And they say the internet is fast communication. Well, not quite so much these days. And another reason I want to go through the Victorian era is my specialty. It's one of the things that I was working on in previous Supernatural original work. So I'm still waiting to try and get there. And all the short-term distractions are basically this odd relapse towards everything I'd been confusedly brought up on until I found my own way out of it with the right people. I used to think email was so impersonal, and now it's downright cozy. Thankfully, there are a few folks out there who enjoy living life and not wasting it away with fragmentary behavior. Almost makes me wish reincarnation was true, because it looks like this will take a few lifetimes to finish. Who knows? Maybe human life will be more organized in 2135. Or it will all be burnt up and the insects will take over. Or a race of octopus. I'm trying to recall an anecdote David Selby asking one of the writers for Dark Shadows, what are you going to do with my character next week? And the writer answers, I don't know, I haven't written it yet, ask me next week. Which is pretty much true for me. I mean, I've gotten the most unbelievable questions of who is going to be paired with who, when I'm not sure about every last person, or what I do about this set of problems at the end of the series. Folks, I haven't even gotten to Chris Jennings in here yet. These are not valid questions. Unless, of course, you use the review boxes, and as you go through an episode and ask them there, they'll be rhetorical questions. I've had to acclimate to that, which is good. But yeah, so many are all about Barnabas, Barnabas, Barnabas. I'm kind of sick of that topic. I lean from fascination to fascination and back again, which is likely why I've had the stamina for all of this. I just analyze the data, look at the overall material, interviews, books. There he is, pining for this woman, and there's Maggie. Who am I? Why does this person seem so familiar? Pretty straightforward. Especially with House of Dark Shadows, just picking up the patterns. And I prefer going from point to point, but with her, Maggie, I did make some special effort. But that's just as well, because I could get a better look at when the daytime series was losing ground and how it was happening. Which, of course, you know how Dan Curtis is about horror. Wanted to get it more and more twisted. I've been looking at a lot of the details and how twisted around it got, and based on what weird tales and variations between horror and speculative fiction here. Oh my gosh. Robert E. Howard's The Shadow Kingdom and Wolf's Head. You know, I seriously, this is just too much to go over what the Leviathans is based on. And as we've seen, folks were eased to get back to the reluctant vampire rather than the possessed villain. In any case, going over a lot of this again, it is not anything goes with me. I look over every aspect of this series and all the other series, and I find the anything goes advice majorly embarrassing for Dark Shadows. That kind of thing is obviously what you tell little kids getting started, and not something you tell full-grown adults who know better, writing extra fiction for some of their favorite shows. You know, you do that with your real work. And there are a lot of new Dark Shadows fans coming forward who are watching on their own, just like my husband and I, and they aren't buying this non-canon stuff that seeped its way into the woodwork. They don't go to the groups. They don't use social networks. They just use search engines and email addresses, and they stick to their guns, and those are the types I'm looking for. People who are not easily swayed. I was looking for 25 people, and so far I've gotten hundreds, if not thousands more, so there you are. And they don't talk. I mean, that's why, you know, when people say, well, your audience, I'm like, well, the audience doesn't freaking talk to me, so, you know, what do you want me to do? I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. The people who do talk to me say, I love it, good. Okay. Someone who comes from a boatload of other fandoms first and study Dark Shadows thoroughly before getting involved, I know my onions, and I am mainly interested in people who also know their onions. And I am obviously not anti-Dr. Hoffman. She is the major hero in episode 13 of The Pit, which was extremely natural. And Professor Stokes is there to stand with her, so I made sure she wasn't alone either. That's a lot of carefully laid out work for her as well as everyone else. Anyway, I am finally calming down, and I took people like Melissa and Lisa and so forth, let me know if you want your names mentioned, to get me back to the calm I had in 2013. But still, you guys, distracting me from trying to find the answers and telling me stuff that didn't help, the damage is done. And if you don't feel a little bad for it, then I'd say you aren't human. And never feel bad about feeling bad. If you don't feel bad about something, or at least confused, you are not human. And that is why I kept making podcasts like this. Come back to Earth. Get away from the screen light in your eyes. Write letters. Slow down. Use the telephone again. Speak to each other. Now, as I analyzed Dark Shadows after having grown up on Edgar Allan Poe, Urban Legends, some of the other shows, and The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, any kind of spooky board game. I've even been trying to build a couple. And Vincent Price films, Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff, Peter Lorre, all those sweetie pies who did great voice work too. Dark Shadows and the basic outline for what they shot toward was not a big stretch for me. However, I look over these lifts via the old Gothic classic books, and then I see H.P. Lovecraft is going to get used. Oh dear. I watched so much, researched so much, saw that H.P. Lovecraft was getting used, and right around the time that hallucinogens and psychedelics were becoming pretty darn popular, or at least more openly admitted. I thought, oh, the world is turning day glow, and you guys are bringing in Mr. Lovecraft. Melissa was telling me, yes, a lot of purple prose, that one. And I thought, oh, yes, indeed. In literary criticism, purple prose is prose text that is so extravagant, ornate, or flowery as to break the flow and draw excessive attention to itself. Purple prose is characterized by the extensive use of adjectives, adverbs, zombie nouns, and metaphors. When it is limited to certain passages, they may be termed purple patches or purple passages, standing out from the rest of the work. Purple prose is criticized for desaturating the meaning in an author's text by overusing melodramatic and fanciful descriptions. As there is no precise rule or absolute definition of what constitutes purple prose, deciding if a text, passage, or complete work has fallen victim is a subjective decision. According to Paul West's words, a certain amount of sass to speak up for prose that's rich, succulent, and full of novelty. Purple is widely seen as immoral, undemocratic, and insincere, at best artsy, at worst the exterminating angel of depravity. And this is from Wikipedia, if all y'all are okay with that. Let's hit an example of Mr. Lovecraft in a voice style I believe best. Darkness fell upon a stricken countryside too passive to organize for real defense. In a few cases, closely related families would band together and watch in the gloom under one roof. But in general, there was only a repetition of the barricading of the night before, and a futile, ineffective gesture of loading muskets and setting pitchforks handily about. Nothing, however, occurred except some hill noises, and when the day came, there were many who hoped that the new horror had gone as swiftly as it had come. There were even bold souls who proposed an offensive expedition down in the glen, though they did not venture to set an actual example to still the reluctant majority. When night came again, the barricading was repeated, though there was less huddling together of families. In the morning, both the Fry and the Seth Bishop households reported excitement among the dogs and various sounds and stenches from afar. While early explorers noted with horror a fresh set of monstrous tracks in the road skirting Sentinel Hill, as before,
The sides of the road showed a bruising indicative of the blasphemously stupendous bulk of horror, whilst the conformation of the track seemed to argue a passage in two directions, as if the moving mountain had come from Cold Spring Glen and returned to it along the same path. At the base of the hill, a 30-foot swath of crushed shrubbery and saplings led steeply upward, and the seekers gasped when they saw that even the most perpendicular places did not reflect the inexorable trail. Whatever the horror was, it could scale the sheer stony cliff of almost complete verticality. And as the investigators climbed around to the hill's summit by safer routes, they saw the trail ended, or rather reversed, there. It was here that the Whatleys used to build their hellish fires and chant their hellish rituals by the table-like stone on May Eve in Hallowmas. Now that very stone formed the center of a vast space thrashed around by the mountainous horror, whilst upon its slightly concave surface was a thick, fetid deposit of the same tarry stickiness observed on the floor of the ruined Whatley farmhouse when the horror escaped. Men looked at one another and muttered. Then they looked down the hill. Apparently the horror had descended by a route much the same as that of its ascent. To speculate was futile. Reason, logic, and normal ideas of motivation stood confounded. Only old Zebulon, who was not with the group, could have done justice to the situation or suggested a plausible explanation.
Anyone notice the number of times the word horror was used in those three paragraphs? It was 7. So that is just an example of where some of this madness extends out of. Hope it was enjoyed. H.P. Lovecraft, you just it's gonna get so messy. The Leviathan, so, you know, when you take from so many classes and then you go to H.P. Lovecraft, it's all over, man. Game over. Game over. Anyway. By the way, people doing radio dramas or podcasts, if you're up for a kind of review swap thing, I'm fairly open to that idea as well. The main thing is email is likely the best. xoisctyhe@hotmail.com. I'm not too good if the story's gross or too sexually expressive. I grew up on War of the Worlds, X-1, kind of more lighthearted science fiction in terms of comic relief here and there. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Vic and Sade. Tried a bit of Vincent Price in The Saint, which is amazingly quick in speech patterns, but very one-upmanship right and left for those characters in The Saint. And spooky is good, more spooky than horror. I'm just letting you know what I'd be cool with review swapping, if you're into that. I'm sure we can work something out, because a lot of us are posting our work looking for the reaction, and if we have to rely on each other to get it, whatever. I'm open to a lot right now. Either one episode for one episode, or time for time, if you want to do that. I don't like to critique. I'd like to enjoy the darn story and express what I enjoy about the darn story. That's where I'm at. It wasn't that long ago more of us did all that, and I didn't lose the ability. As for me, I'm going to try and keep a focus on what I'm doing, since I can't seem to escape. I've been telling people for years, as I hunt down the chat for everything, I'm trying to scramble out of the pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, and I keep turning into Jo Beth Williams, trying to escape the pool in Poltergeist. She just slides through the mud and back to the corpses. Still waiting for the neighbors to bail me out here, but no. We're just gonna zombie cha-cha staring at smartphone screens, and no matter how many talented people have come long before Daryl,
she's just too scary.
Did you know silence can drive a woman to drink? It's true. I'm living proof. Take care, and stay scared.
Cha-cha-cha with the zombies, cha-cha with the zombies. Have you ever seen a swinging ghost?
with the zombies, cha-cha with the zombies, while those zombies are the most...